Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Eric.
And we are proud affiliates of the You Run Podcast Network.
Head on over to YouRunPodcast.com to check out all of our content, all of our affiliates' content, and so much more.
See y'all there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another riveting edition of Under the Floorboards, where we laugh at the creatures that go bump in the night. I'm your host, John, joined as always by my beautiful co-host, Eric. How are you this week?
I'm fucking fabulous.
And why is that, my friend?
Because we've got a very special guest on today. Do you know who it is?
I do indeed. And give it up, everybody in the fake audience that we'll have.
All three of you.
The one and only Caitlin Newberry. Welcome to it.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
How goes it on your end?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah. Good.
How are you guys?
You're chilling.
Yeah, a hell of a lot better now. I feel like this has been in the works for a long time. I'm really excited to talk to you because your work is so cool.
Thank you.
It's funny because the first time I ever saw you in anything, I wasn't actually even watching the movie. It was something my fiance was watching, and I don't know the name of it. I'm very sorry. It's like,
that's okay.
It was like a Lifetime movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I looked up and I just see this raven-haired girl in a bed giving birth and screaming.
Wait, no, that's the Crickets dance. Okay. Was I giving birth? I don't give birth often on screen, so that is pretty memorable for me. There's always blood, but like, no, it's not often that I give childbirth. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sitting there on my Switch and I like poke my head up. I'm like, this girl's killing it. Like 5 weeks later, I'm like, oh, okay. Now I know who that is.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably what that was. That was a fun movie to work on.
I believe you.
But it wasn't weird at all.
Not at all.
So you're also notably having a huge fucking year right now.
I am working a lot this year, and I'm actually working on things that I can't really talk about right now.
Oh, sweet.
But the neat part is you've also got a lot of shit that's coming out this year.
I do have a bunch of shit that is coming out this year. It's crazy because, like, as an actor, it's always like you're always 2 or 3 years behind because you've got all this stuff in post. You work on so much stuff, and then you just have all this stuff in post-production. It's just, like, in limbo somewhere.
Well, and typically you guys don't get to see the movies until the premiere.
No.
And I forget about that all the time when, like, we go to these premieres and I'm like, talk to the actor. I'm like, oh my God, this scene came out so well. And this, that, and the other, like, yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. I just saw Meet for the first time last weekend.
How did you
it's
like
it? It's so great. It's so great. Roger did such a good job. I'm so proud of him. He's one of my best friends, by the way. And I'm just like, wildly proud of him.
Absolutely.
And Cody Steele, love it.
Phenomenal in the film.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Phenomenal. And actually, that's a really good segue into one of the questions that we did have later on. So how did you get mixed up with Roger Connors? This delightful, like, spirit that just bounces around everywhere.
Wait, have you ever talked to him before?
We have an episode coming out with him soon.
Okay, that's really exciting. So, Roger and I decided that I wanted to act. I was probably, I don't know, like 25, I think. And I just decided one day that I was going to be an actor. And there was this indie casting for this movie. I can't even remember what it's called currently. It's a Christmas slasher. And I auditioned and they cast me for it. And the first time that I ever met Roger, he was in drag with long rainbow hair. That was over 10 years ago at this point. And we just bonded so hard. Actually, that's funny enough. We were just talking about this while we were in Texas at, Houston Horror, because the two of us together, because I lived in Ohio for, I don't know, 7 years or something like that. And that's where I started acting. And him and I, I think people knew that we were really close. And so they would cast us in stuff together, specifically horror stuff. And we've been on some of the worst sets. And it's quite honestly, it is a miracle that either one of us are still doing it. I'm so, like, he directed Meet And him and I had had so many just rough experiences on set, 23 hour days. I had a 23 hour day on crazy. It's a miracle I'm still doing this. In a 23 set hour day on one of the movies that we were doing, the director just like didn't show up. Roger was directing. I don't know. It was crazy. And the way that he conducted the set and conducts himself on set, he is such a professional, and you can tell that he loves it so much, and he is so respectful of people's time. And I am just so wildly proud of him that I like I can't stand it. I'm so proud of him.
So how hard were you screaming when he took down best film director at
Oh my God. So I left. Unfortunately, I had to get back in Atlanta because we had a House Among the Trees screening here. And so I was trying to make it to both of them, which funny enough, there were people at both film festivals bouncing back and forth. It wasn't just me, but I'm so proud of him for winning. Like it is so deserving. He deserves that so much. He worked so hard on that movie.
We had a lot of fun talking to him about it. What was the movie that we did with him for our episode?
So we did The Blob remake.
The Blob, and he was just absolutely so much fun to be around and hang out. Well, not be around, but to chat with and pick his brain. We were around him in spirit. And he's just such a creative force and just such a...
Yeah.
He's infectious. The personality is infectious and just completely lovable. Yeah, we completely agree.
Yeah,
I love him so much. I feel so fortunate to have him in my life. As a friend, quite honestly, as one of my best friends, he's so incredible.
Absolutely.
I think when we were in the midst of the interview, he was talking about what it's like to be typecast. And I wasn't even thinking about that for someone like him. And he went from his, what I'm going to call normal voice, but what he referred to as his gay voice, dropping into like the local
like
sheriff.
Four octaves.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit.
Wait, was he using his straight voice or was he using his normal voice? Yeah, he has a straight voice. I know. Well, he played my boyfriend in a film. I cannot even remember what this movie is called. I don't even think it got released.
I'm so sad.
It's fine. I feel like a large portion of the stuff that I did early in my career didn't end up getting released. And you know what? That's okay. Stuff happens. I'm not mad about it.
Sure.
But he did play my boyfriend in a movie we did together.
I'm not
once upon a time with his straight voice.
I'm not proud of the amount of money I would pay to get access to that. Yeah, because he gets down in here real quick and it's like
I know, it's wild. Like, who is this person that I'm speaking to?
So also, you've been in, like, you know, you're talking about the crazier sets that you've been on where it's just like shit is, you know, directors aren't showing up and such.
Yeah.
But you've been kind of on that spectrum now between like being in a Warner Brothers movie. We're juror number two.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Go watch it, guys. It's on Max. Come on. But what do you think are the bigger challenges, like differentially between those two types of sets? Other than money, because I assume money is just always the issue, whether it be a large scale production or one of these better indie films that are coming out.
I think that if there are money issues on like a Clint Eastwood set, I'm not going to notice it. I think that I will probably notice it more on on an independent film if they're having financial issues, which I mean, I feel like no movie ever has enough money. There is always something that is outside of the budget. That's what it has felt like to me. But I've also worked on, you know, mostly independent films. But one of the biggest challenges, is that what my question is here? That they both face? God, I don't know, because making a movie is challenging in general. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of different personalities, and there's one common goal, but sometimes you got people that have different visions. And I honestly don't see a lot of stuff just because when I show up as an actor, like that's my job, and I don't pay attention. And people will be like, "Oh, the set is on fire," and I'm like, "Oh, I didn't notice. I'm just having a good time being here. I'm just happy to be included." But I mean, you do see like you definitely see like I've seen like personalities clashing and stuff like that, and you can definitely see sometimes budget restrictions. But I don't know, even the worst day on set for me, I just love making movies. So I'm just like, okay, I don't know. I'm just happy to be involved. I feel fortunate that I get to do this, and I get to make as many movies as I get to make, because I feel like that's perhaps not everybody's story.
Hi everyone, I'm John.
And I'm Eric.
And we wanted to take this opportunity to talk to you about the Dewey Pod Monster Podcast, an affiliate of the You Run Podcast Network.
The Dewey Pod Monster Podcast is a weekly podcast about consumption. It's a lot about movies, but it's actually about consumption.
Hosted by John and Sean, the Dewey Pod Monster Podcast talks about beer, movies, spirits, shows, and absolutely everything else. Nothing is off limits.
You can support them by heading over to Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, or any of the other usual platforms where podcasts can be found.
You guys rock.
Yeah, I like the attitude that it's not a it could be worse situation. It's a I get to do this, even though.
Yeah, I get to do this. I'm doing what I want to do. I don't have to do this. Quite honestly, if you get on a set, if you get on a set and you're bothered by all of these little things that are happening, because this is a lot of work. It's long hours. It's sometimes grueling. The weather sometimes is not fun. It's either too hot or too cold, or your outfit is uncomfortable, or you don't like your co-stars or whatever. But like if those things bother you, there are easier ways to make money. There are way easier ways to make money. This is hard.
I can imagine. Is there when kind of switching gears here a little bit, is there a moment that you've had maybe in the last year or last couple of years that you've worked on for movies that you can talk about that stands out as an example of like a particularly entertaining moment or fun moment that really you'd be willing to share?
I could share a little bit about my experience with Clint Eastwood, because that was a pretty surreal experience working with him, because that man is a legend.
Absolutely.
That man is a legend, and that set was really like a well-oiled machine, like I had never seen before. That group of people, they've been making movies forever. It's a lot of the same producers, it's the same cinematographer. And so you got holding, obviously. You've got a place where people go for holding, where they have all the chairs and they have all the shit or whatever to keep you comfortable. That's not where I want to be, though. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be sitting on a chair. I want to be on set, and I want to be watching what's happening, and I want to be observing. And so I kind of, like, I play a bartender in that movie. So we were shooting at my bar, and they had the whole setup, and they had all the jurors were there, but they had put them in, the holding area. Nicholas Holt stayed on set as well. He's one of those people that wants to be on set and wants to, one of the nicest people I've ever met, by the way. He's as cool as you'd think that he was. But he's one of those actors that wants to be on set. And so I just kind of like snuck behind the bar, and I was like, I'm one of those people that I'm like, I will ask for forgiveness, not permission. So I'm like, I'll just stay here, and if they tell me to fuck off, I'll fuck off. And Clint Eastwood was on his chair. They weren't even shooting my stuff. I was just there to observe, because how often do you get to be on a fucking Clint Eastwood set? And he would just stare at me from across the room. And he never directed me. He would just come up to me and he would be like, that was really nice. Be like, okay. But my last day was the stuff of me. He's so cool. He's so cool. The last day on set, it was the all the stuff on the stand. And he does one take. He doesn't call action. And I did my take, and he was like, "Do you want another take?" And I was like, "Do you want another take?" He's like, "No, I'm really happy." And I was like, "Okay, well, then I'm happy." And then they like, do their little chatter and everything, and they were like, "Mr. Eastwood wants to speak to you." And I was like, "Okay." So I walked over to him, and he took my hand, and he was like, "Thank you for being in my movie." And I was like, "I would have shown up for free.
Right.
I would have been here. I would have not even to be in the movie, just to like hang out." But he just loves making movies so much, and he just like he lights up when he talks about it, which I think is incredible because he's like what, 95?
I
Yeah.
know. He's in that Stan Lee territory, man.
It's crazy.
I'm real scared.
I know. I don't. Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that he's like genuinely like that, because I was in my head, I'm thinking, I wonder if that's just Clint Eastwood's way of politely telling you to fuck off, is would you like another take?
No, I think because I, well, and when he wasn't directing me, I was like, oh, he's just, because I've worked with other directors on like Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry never directed me. He was just like, good job. And I was like, actually, I walked on, I when I got onto set, because I, and my scene got cut from the movie and what, whatever, that shit happens. I got on set with Tyler Perry. He looked at me and he's like, "You got lines?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Sit over there." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "Action." And I just like froze, because we never blocked it. We never talked about it. And I was like, is this the scene? Or like, and I was like, well, I'm just gonna start talking, and if I fuck up, then they can get upset with me. But it's literally written in your contract when you work with him that you get one take.
Oh
Whoa.
no. That doesn't sound
It's
conducive
fine.
with progress.
Or at least it was in my
Or
contract. I don't know if that's in
I
people,
was
but
gonna
I was only in
say
one scene though.
dude.
But yeah, it was crazy. I was shook.
He signed the
And it's
contract.
hard to shake me, and I was shook.
Medea, you get one take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Crazy.
That's some pressure, dude.
We she shoot he shoots like 25 pages a day. It's crazy.
So growing up with a certain band, I thought it was really cool to find out that you did their latest music video. I think it was 2 years ago, or like 1.5 years ago, you were in the Attila
You
music.
mean when I killed Attila?
Yeah.
When I killed Franz with a pitchfork? Yeah, I love those guys.
That like a surreal moment for you? Because like I said, I was listening to them back in high school, so I
I am going to be honest, I didn't know who Attila was.
Are they based in ATL?
At least one of them is. They used to all be here, but I think a couple of them live in Florida, which is close enough. But I didn't know who Attila was when they hired me.
It was just one of
And,
those, kill you. It
huh?
was one of those, yeah, I'll kill you.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, doing stuff with bands is never as organized as making a movie, because it's very like they're not used to this side of things. And I think I'm also the first actor that Attila had ever hired for their stuff. I think the rest of it is like they've hired friends and girlfriends or whatever, and I got hired through somebody that does their marketing. That I'm very close friends with, and he was like, "Do you want to do this music video?" I don't think I knew that I was gonna kill them at first. I don't think I knew. I don't remember though. I don't think they were like, "Hey, do you want to kill this band?" I would have said yes, obviously, but I don't think I knew that
Hell of an elevator.
going into it. I well, I just love to kill people. I take that however you want. In movies, obviously. I don't know. There's something about that character, that like feminine rage, that it's because that I am filled with feminine rage, I think is what it is. But I just love that character. Like, that's like character. That was the same year I made Replicator.
Okay.
And so I went from back to back to back to just killing boys.
Just on one. I love
that. I was just on one that year.
Well, men deserve it. It's fine.
I was saying,
I didn't say it.
I am female rage. I think absolutely there should be more of it out there, yeah, personally.
What did you say?
I just think there should be more feminine rage out there.
God, me too.
Here's my
if I can inspire anybody to do anything.
If a man that is afraid of feminine rage, it's because you're doing something that is problematic.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Because it's not directed towards everybody.
It's not. Only the problematic ones.
It's not like I was like, hey, will you do this interview? She's like, yeah, fuck you guys.
I hate men. No, that's not true.
That's the board shit.
Just fucking, I don't know, act right.
And even if that was the case, I get it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. That's a crazy thing to do.
Boys are gross.
They are.
I actually, once upon a time, worked on a music video with Jeffrey Nothing from Mushroom Head. That was one of the first things that I ever did.
That's wild.
But I didn't kill anybody.
That still just shot me back to high school.
Yeah.
And parachute, not the parachute pants, but like the rave pants that we had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, trip pants.
Yeah.
And they're patched with Smurfs and shit on the side of them. I was like, I can't believe you got to buy them like that.
Yeah.
You have to make that.
Right.
God, those were the days.
Yeah, but I never had the parachute JNCOs. I only had like the straight lace.
That was the stuff that they sold in Spencer's, and Spencer's always felt like one of those places I wasn't allowed to be in.
Was it?
God, I loved Spencer's.
Yeah. It was the strap-ons and the.
Those were fine.
They were like next to like Cookie Monster pajama bottoms and shit. It was like the layout was like, it was this really like confusing set of visual imagery. It was.
You know what? And there's nothing wrong. We saw that. There's nothing wrong with us.
No, I'm fine.
There's nothing wrong with us. We're just so well adjusted.
Everything's fine. You see the kitchen behind me on fire, right? Everything's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my problem with Hot Topic, was like I couldn't get pants that fit right because I couldn't do the skinny jeans.
My boy Thunder Thighs.
Dude, I'm telling you. I built like a brick shit house back then. Yeah. Like, I tried to put one on and just stopped in my knees.
That's okay. You weren't missing anything wearing. I didn't hang out with people that wore skinny jeans. I'm gonna be honest. It's because I was hanging out with all the goth kids, and we all wore like really baggy clothes, like really baggy trip pants with like the chains and everything. And we were like, skinny jeans. Those are emo kids. Mm. We don't hang out with the emo kids.
I'm glad you brought that up because there is a huge difference between the two.
100%.
I hate when people tell me I'm an emo girl. It makes me so mad.
I have a weird random question, kind of like related, but not really. But how many 2009 emos do you think it would take to take down one 2009 goth?
Wait, what was the question?
How many 2009 emos? Do you think it would take to take down one 2009 goth kid?
Ooh, like, I'm gonna say at least five.
Okay.
The goth kids that I were hanging out with, they were like a little bit aggressive, but we were also like kind of rednecks.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the middle of nowhere. And so we were also doing, I wasn't doing this because I'm not crazy. Well, but we were doing like backyard wrestling, like throwing each other through tables and stuff like that. The emo kids weren't doing that.
They weren't. They weren't doing much of anything. I think
lighting things on fire.
The emo kids were never leveling up, while the goth kids were somewhere between like Marilyn Manson and Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a hatchet in the back of my car just in case. You know what I
Well,
mean? Like,
yeah.
do the emo kids have that?
In
No.
case you have a flare up in traffic or something.
Yeah. Scares all the Who's
emo.
to say?
That a Newport? It's a Camel Crush.
That's
Oh
a camel crush.
God.
It's
Oh
uber
God.
menthol.
Yeah. Super menthol. So gross.
Yeah, they were all smoking menthols.
Yeah.
That's the heart of the goth. It's like, if I don't feel like it's killing me when I smoke it,
Yeah, exactly.
why am I even doing
Yeah.
this?
It's a bad
Yeah.
pain.
And my friends and I, we were so into our suffering.
Yeah.
Fucking 16.
Starting to blur the
Oh
line.
God, we
Starting to
had
blur the
no
line.
idea.
It's not a phase, Mom.
It's not, unfortunately. Here I
Turns out,
am.
here we are.
Here I am.
So I'm going to pivot back to movies a little bit. This always feels like such a shitty question, just to say, like, how did you get into horror? But like, has horror always been like a part of your life, like growing up, or is that something you discovered later on?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I've never been a huge movie person. When I was growing up, I really liked music. I really liked video games, and I read a lot of books. I liked horror video games, and I liked horror books. Like, I was a huge fan of Anne Rice. That shaped me as a person. Anne Rice and metal music. So I think I've always liked. Like, even as a child, my mom was here the other day, and I've got like skulls and everything all over my apartment. And she's like, "Oh," she's like, "You know, when you were five, you were asking to see the inside of a fish head." And I was like, "What the fuck?
You're like,
What? Excuse me, what?" So I think that I've always just liked creepy shit. I also didn't know that I was going to be an actor. I had no ambition of being an actor. I wanted to get into music. And I started working with the lead singer of Mushroom Head, Jeffrey Nothing, previous lead singer, and their current bass player. His name is Ryan Farrell. And then, like, Skinny's got some stuff on my tracks as well. We were making music. We were making an EP, and Jeff, I was living in Ohio at this time, and Jeff was going back and forth between Ohio and Michigan. He was working on a horror movie where he was like a pinhead character. And he came back one day, and we were recording together, and he was like, "You should try acting." Just, I feel like that's what they tell every pretty girl. They look at you and they're like, "You should try acting." So I did, and I completely fell in love with it. And just shortly after that, I ended up on that set with Roger Connors, and I started training and whatever. And now I'm here, so I'm kind of acting because of Jeffrey Nothing from Mushroom Head.
The lore is crazy.
Yeah, the lore is crazy.
Are you kind of multifaceted in your artistic pursuits? Do you do anything aside from music and acting?
Like what?
Painting,
I like to do crafts.
like that, yeah.
But I like to do I mean I like to do I don't want to make money off of this other things that I do because I'm already stressed out enough about making money off of being a performer, that I need something that I could just like do for funsies. You know what I mean? I like to do embroidery. I do like to paint. I cannot draw, but my mom is an artist, and my mom could take any medium. And I used to be a photographer, actually. Her and I were gonna open a business together in my early 20s. But I think that just, it all came from her. I just spent my childhood making weird shit, weird dolls out of wood.
Making stuff out of wood. Nice.
I would love to get a fucking embroidery from you where you
Yeah.
come up and you're like, "I made you this," and it just says, "Get fucked."
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang this up on
Amazing.
the
And then she like
I
punches
love that. I should start making those and carrying them with me.
it. This is for you.
This is my
Oh.
gift for you. Hang it up, please. Oh my God, I could make little buttons.
Oh, I'd get buttons.
I
I'm
would
a button
absolutely,
guy.
yeah.
I'm a button guy.
I know you said you don't want to sell them, but
But I think
no,
I don't want to. I don't want to have any more. No more. I have one.
donation day.
You send us a couple of get fucked buttons and we'll send you $5. How's that sound?
I'm gonna give it to somebody hanging out at a gas station. I don't know.
Some poor unassuming dude.
Yeah, here,
He's
have
lost, he's just lost his job.
$5.
The wife's filing for divorce. Here, this is for you.
But
This
that's
is my get fucked money.
two pieces of ice house for
That's
that
right.
Oh my God, I can't. I can't. Every time I pick up some artistic thing, because I'm good at making money. I'm good at taking something, and my first artistic pursuit, I was making jewelry, and I was selling it at craft shows to little old ladies. It was awesome. It was a lot of stuff made with bones, naturally. And that was my first thing, and I was like, oh, I can make money off of anything. And then I became an actor. I'm not taking any more, no more jobs.
Pieces together, everything's coming together, real. No, that's I love that.
I do want to talk about before we run out of time in this space episode, because it's got so much good momentum right now that
Start the
it's
Patreon.
like sorry.
You can pay for it.
God damn it, she's too good of a cast. You've again, you've got so many great movies coming out. Like I was rewatching Replicator this morning just because, again, I love feminine rage movies.
Yeah.
Your performance in that was really great, especially like at the end, your monologues are like real type shit, as the kids are saying right now.
Real type shit.
But notably, I wanted to talk a little bit about The House Among the Trees, to the degree that we can, and we've kind of talked with like literally everyone already a little bit, so we kind of know where those fall a little bit. What was it like? Were you and Molly friends before this?
No,
Oh,
it's
so this
funny.
is
It's so, yeah. And like we're like I would crawl inside of Molly and live in there if I could. I love Molly
same
so
here.
much. You have no idea. I have never had a girlfriend that was as unhinged as me, and our conversations are insane. I love it. But actually, both of us on set, and I'm shy when you meet me in person, especially on a movie set where I'm showing up and they've been shooting for a couple weeks already and I'm like the new guy. But everybody knew Molly. And so I was really intimidated by her. And then she was vice versa, also intimidated by me. So the entire time on set, we didn't speak to each other.
No. And little did you know.
And little did I know that we were the same brand of unhinged.
I would
That's how
love
it
to feed
starts.
that much feminine rage in one.
Oh, dude.
It's so great. It's
There's definitely a revenge kill movie in there somewhere with the two of you.
Oh,
hell
wow.
yeah.
Well, and I like kind of where a lot of revenge films are kind of going now. Like there's one that's called They Call Her Death, and it's all the feminine rage with none of the SA, and they just like kill her husband at the very beginning, and it turns into like this Clint Eastwood style Western shot on film. And I'm just like, where was this the whole time?
That sounds awesome.
It's on Shudder. Check it out. It's
Okay.
really, really good. Again, I love revenge, but it's like there's a lot of those movies where I have to skip like 15 minutes of it because it's just like,
Yeah.
this is the story. This is the struggle. This is how we get to the part that we actually like about the movie. But Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Like,
Yeah.
have some couth in your filmmaking.
Yeah.
Couth is a great word. Good job there. That was awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. I
Yeah.
didn't realize that that was like a real word for the longest time.
It doesn't sound like a real word.
It doesn't, but well.
I thought it was just one of those southern words that my mom would say a lot,
Yeah.
and it's one that I could say out loud. So
Yeah, totally.
learning is crazy.
But you gotta keep your head up. Oh.
Well, before we get out of here, we made a mistake on our last interview, and especially since Roger had such a great answer so fast for it, Eric.
Yeah.
But it's in our Patreon episode and
Oh, fuck.
not in the base
Damn it.
So,
We got to get back on track.
yeah.
This is something that I pitch to everybody. All right.
Okay.
Saturday night, you got nothing going on. Home alone, cozy blanket, whatever you want to watch, listening to music, smoking a J, perhaps.
Perhaps.
You've got a free coupon for pizza from your favorite spot.
Okay.
Where are you getting it from and what goes on said pizza? This is my litmus
Are
test.
you guys gonna get mad at me if I tell you that I like broccoli on my pizza? Did you
Yes.
say yes?
Yes. I'm cutting it down. We're good.
That's it. I'm out.
And we're done here. Don't get mad at me, I'm
Of the feminine rage that I love when it's
I don't know. I don't eat a lot of pizza. I would probably make it myself.
yeah,
And
okay.
then I would put broccoli on it because, quite frankly, it's really hard to find places that put broccoli on your pizza for some reason.
Know why that guess why that is?
So
Christ. No, it's fine. So what is the what, just you like broccoli on pizza? Is there anything else to that? Is it a nutrition thing? What is
no, I just really like broccoli.
see, and so we do this thing where the next pe that when we get a pizza answer, the next time we get pizza, we do that interviewee's pizza. So now,
Y'all are gonna eat some broccoli pizza.
and I feel like we're being set up. I think we should do it with cauliflower crust just to like really round it out because I think that's the appeal.
The Florette
I
pizza.
put it's a broccoli and chicken.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a pizza place near me, but it's a local place, and they will make me pizza with broccoli and chicken on it.
So I gotta ask, because this feels really important to this litmus test. What's the base? Like, what's the sauce on it?
Red sauce.
You're fucking serial killer. This is like the one time that I was like, white sauce is completely acceptable.
No, I want red sauce.
What
Well,
was Molly Suze's pizza? Do you remember her pizza? It was
it
something.
was not black olive
Yeah,
because,
because she fucking hates olives.
yeah, because for some reason those give her like a visceral reaction to
Yeah.
life.
I wonder like if y'all could like combine your pizzas into this like monstrosity of
I feel like if you did like
yeah.
banana pie.
I'll eat most things. I've got like trash taste buds. Okay, I used to
No,
drink Mountain Dew out of 2 liter bottles, so
I
I'm fucking cooked. You know what I mean?
that was very goth kid, 100%.
I
Yeah.
am cooked.
Your sperm count sucks. I will accept that answer with a little bit of recoil. We'll try it and we will get back to you.
I will be choking it down.
Yes. I
I'm so excited for you.
feel like this is a trap. Like, I feel like she's just like, broccoli. Yeah, we'll say broccoli.
Broccoli and chicken, mozzarella cheese, and red sauce. Not on a cauliflower crust, though. I don't hate myself.
Thank God.
Broken spoon.
Dude,
Is
the
that
gluten-free crust is so
I know
good.
the Patreon interview tends to go a little bit more unhinged in these zoos. So
So, with on that note, I think it's a good time to say,
yeah, let's
first of
just
all,
transition.
if you want to see more feminine rage, check out our Patreon for $3 a month. It's fucking awesome and you get a bunch of fucking content. But more importantly, I want to thank the one and only Caitlin Newberry for being on our show today.
Here. Thanks for having me.
Thank
Thank
you
you
for
for
being here.
and thank you for being
happy to be included.
here. Well, before we go, Caitlin, is there anything you'd like to say to your fans?
Thanks for being supportive of the unhingedness. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Well, Caitlin, thanks again for joining us. And thank you guys once again for listening and joining us where it creaks, it cracks, and we laugh at the creatures that go bump in the night. Good night, everybody.